Yes, I was thinking what Kyle Brandt of NFL Network was thinking. We talk about that, a few other relevant things in this edition of the Todd Wright Toddcast, recording on June 10th, 2025, at roughly 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Brandon Legal Group, your full service law firm, helps pay for the podcast. What does full service mean? When you have a legal need, why don't you reach out to them for a free consult and find out? 813-902-3576 or visit brandonlegalgroup.com to request a free consultation. One area in particular, we're coming up on the two-year anniversary in the state of Florida of Governor Ron DeSantis signing out of Florida law permanent alimony. If you are an adult male and a state of Florida resident and you have been paying permanent alimony, the law is on your side in the state of Florida, and Brandon Legal Group can help reduce or potentially eliminate future alimony payments going forward. Brandon Legal Group, your full service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Visit them at brandonlegalgroup.com. Plantation Palms Golf Club, plantationpalms.net is the online destination for information on this golf property in Land O'Lakes, Florida, that annually hosts a Todd Wright Tour golf tournament and will be hosting an upcoming Todd Wright Tour golf tournament in the month of October. I'm not here to sell that golf tournament. It's not on sale. I'm simply here to talk about why Plantation Palms Golf Club is a regular destination for me and has become a regular destination for many of my Todd Wright Tour players. The biggest reason is because the general manager is terrific. His name is Jesse Pratt. And if you're ever at Plantation Palms Golf Club and you have a question or an issue, you can ask to speak to Jesse Pratt. You can tell him that I sent you. Jesse cares not only about my players, my listeners, but he's a huge reason why I have hosted golf tournaments with him and at other properties that he has been in charge of for a very long time. Jesse has been very successfully hosting summer scrambles every Thursday, 5:30 p.m. tee off, nine-hole events for recent summer play. So keep those in mind if you want to get in some golf after work on a Thursday with friends, play in a tournament format. It's very inexpensive. It's Jesse Pratt's Summer Scramble League at Plantation Palms. Also, if you just want to hit some golf balls at night, the driving range at Plantation Palms is lighted, and you can work on your game at night. And kind of nice, the terrific sound system that is in the mini golf, you can hear it on the range a little bit. So there's that element, there's that vibe as well. Visit plantationpalms.net for tee times and more information, and Plantation Palms is helping pay for this podcast for the summer. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com, or you can send me a golf-related email. If you have another question about Plantation Palms, that's fine, at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. Let me throw out a few football things here. One, we finally have closure on the starting quarterback of the last team, presumably without a starting quarterback. This is going on the premise that Tyler Shuck, the rookie from Louisville, will likely be the starting quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, and they are not in pursuit of somebody else, whoever that might be. So we're talking about Aaron Rodgers putting pen to paper shortly before minicamp to join the Pittsburgh Steelers. Aaron Rodgers is an easy guy to root against. that I've been rooting against for some time. And I've gotten a lot of company on that bandwagon in recent years. My issue with Aaron Rodgers was, and this is going back a number of years, why is his postseason record so average? And he's since going to one Super Bowl. Ironically, now he's playing for the coach he beat in that one Super Bowl. That was Super Bowl 45 in Arlington, Texas, Green Bay over Pittsburgh, coached by Mike Tomlin. Aaron Rodgers has lost a lot of games that should have won in the postseason and seems to deflect a lot of the criticism about why he didn't get back to more Super Bowls on people like Mike McCarthy, the Green Bay Packers organization, and on from there, when he is the common denominator of his postseason record since winning Super Bowl 45. So I don't think Rodgers makes the Steelers a Super Bowl contender. I still think Mike Tomlin, until he proves otherwise, will have a football team that wins a majority of their games and avoids a losing season. I'm not sure this is how this is going to go down, but Tomlin has handled a number of unique personalities in his run as Pittsburgh Steelers head coach. So I don't doubt he can handle Aaron Rodgers to an extent. What I found interesting and new was a report, whether it's true or not, I got this via profootballtalk.com, which quoted another source, that Rodgers was the third choice of the Steelers to quarterback their team in 2025. The first choice was Matt Stafford, which further shines a light on, if you didn't think it was close, that Matt Stafford was not going to be quarterbacking the Rams this year. This is more evidence of something I've talked about, and that it was close. It was very close. That the Rams were ready to move on from, let me just say, the Stafford family and go with other options this year and look to next year and beyond on a team with a ton of really good young talent that you saw win the NFC West this year and get to a divisional game in the snow at Philadelphia that they were never out of, and even had a chance to win down six with a fresh set of downs, what, inside the 30-yard line, and time to get it done. The Eagles forced the Rams to turn that over on downs, and the Eagles go on and win Super Bowl 59. But yeah, it was close. It is my belief, as it is many who believe, the Giants were the likely destination for Stafford. This is before they drafted Jackson Dart. That Stafford would have been a Giant if he wasn't a Ram. But it was interesting to see the report that Pittsburgh's first choice for a quarterback this year was Stafford. If nothing else, it validates there were issues between, let's just say, McVay and Stafford. They have been resolved. For now, we'll see how it goes. But Stafford was in play, and apparently the Steelers wanted in on that. The second choice was Justin Fields. Fields ended up getting a two-year, $40 million deal to go to the New York Jets. ironically, right, that's the first opponent for the Steelers this coming season. The Steelers wouldn't pay that. I don't blame them. I know Fields is still young. He has his flashes. But I don't blame the Steelers for not wanting to pay Justin Fields that amount. So the Jets do. And now we see if Justin Fields can realize his potential on a franchise that seems to either slow, halt, pause, or kill careers, the New York Jets. And then Rodgers was the Steelers' third choice. Speaking of quarterbacks, and actually one of them being Aaron Rodgers, I recently stumbled onto something via social media that I found very surprising as it related to what college programs have produced the quarterbacks that have thrown the most career NFL touchdown passes. You got that? And I know we're in the NIL world, but we would consider Cam Ward from Miami as one example. We would consider Joe Burrow from LSU. What counts is the school you were at last before you went to the NFL. Granted, there wasn't NIL and transfers as much going back historically. So if I said to you, tell me the college football program that has produced the quarterbacks who in total have thrown the most NFL touchdown passes, I don't think the correct answer would be your first choice. I don't think it'd be your second choice. I honestly don't think it'd be in your top 20 or 25. Unless you already knew where we were going with this. So I'll just go in reverse order of the top three. If you're playing the Tom Brady card, yes, Michigan is top three. They're third. Brady played forever, threw a lot of touchdowns. His Michigan Wolverines are currently third all time for producing quarterbacks that have thrown NFL touchdown passes. They're third. Aaron Rodgers and Jared Goff are two current starting quarterbacks in the NFL from the program at number two, Cal. Now, I don't think you would have gotten that. But yeah, that number will continue to go up a bit as Brady is no longer at Michigan. We'll see what J.J. McCarthy can potentially add to Michigan's total going forward. But Aaron Rodgers is going to throw a few more. Jared Goff is going to throw a few more. Let's put it this way. Cal is a distant second. So it's not like Cal this year is going to become number one. But Cal is number two. And it's not just Rodgers and Goff, but they are two active quarterbacks and reasons why Cal is number two all time in producing quarterbacks who have thrown NFL touchdown passes. And we're counting the total of touchdown passes. So without being able to solicit guesses from you, I would imagine those of you listening to the podcast have already thought of a guess or two, perhaps said it out loud, thought it in your head. Number one is Purdue. And when you think of prolific college football passing offenses, national title contenders, big time programs, Purdue doesn't fit the mold. But they had Drew Brees. They had Bob Greasy. And I'll let you, if you want, go look at the other list of quarterbacks that Purdue claims that had good to Hall of Fame, Super Bowl winning careers that led to Purdue being number one in this category, and it's not close. Nope, it is not close at all. Purdue, number one in terms of quarterbacks throwing regular season NFL touchdown passes. No program has produced more. All right, so recently, the NBA playoffs and NHL playoffs have reached the finals, or in the case of hockey's terminology, final. After the conference finals of both, we had a firing of one of the losing teams that didn't make the finals or final. The surprising one to many was the New York Knicks firing their head coach, Tom Thibodeau. The not so surprising one to me, based on his past history and based on how he benched his best goaltender during the conference finals, Pete DeBoer was fired by the Dallas Stars. I'm not going to talk here about why they were, why they shouldn't have been, what the other options are for those teams. I referenced Kyle Brand at the top here, and an astute listener of mine that I talk to away from this microphone a lot made sure I was aware that Kyle Brandt made sort of a connection that, okay, if you have in the NBA an organization firing a coach that loses on the precipice of the finals, and in the NHL you have the same thing, a coach makes the conference finals, and actually DeBoer had done it, what, 3 years in a row, and doesn't get to the final and or win the championship, and they're out. So Kyle Brandt played off that and said, who fits this mold or profile NFL? Because clearly just making the conference final wasn't good enough for Tom Thibodeau to keep his job, right or wrong. Just making the conference final wasn't good enough for Pete DeBoer to keep his job in Dallas. I firmly believe that Sean McDermott fits this very well. If anything, I have another one in mind, but certainly McDermott. At what point does Buffalo Bills management realize that McDermott isn't helping them win a championship and make a move? He's also a coach with a defensive background, and that doesn't get you to Super Bowls in the last decade. We could also say that Kyle Shanahan fits this. He's probably even more comparable to DeBoer because Shanahan's influence is on three Super Bowl losses. Granted, the Bills under McDermott haven't made a Super Bowl. Shanahan, as an offensive coordinator, exclusively, was involved in blowing a 28-3 lead in Super Bowl 51. And then as a head coach, also calling the plays for the offense, lost Super Bowl 54 and lost Super Bowl 58. At what point does Niner management make the same judgment that the Knicks made, that the Stars made, that this coach is not going to win a championship for us? Is it about just winning? Is it about just making the playoffs? Is it about just being a contender? Or is it about winning a championship? So I think McDermott and Shanahan, and I would imagine Kyle talked about both. But yeah, if the Knicks are going to move on from Thibodeau, if the Stars are going to move on from DeBoer, why wouldn't the Bills and Niners move on from McDermott and Shanahan? They're similar. And I wonder after this year if you could put Dan Campbell on that board. Because I'm already, you know how I was fortunate. Last year I gave you all eight division winners before the season began. All eight. Part of doing that was identifying from the previous year what teams, where was the door open for change? And there wasn't a lot of it. I saw it in San Francisco, though, because I gave you the Rams to win the NFC West, not the San Francisco 49ers. The Lions are leaving the door open now in the NFC North. Dan Campbell has lost both his offensive coordinator and his defensive coordinator to other head coaching jobs. He also just recently lost one of the best offensive interior linemen in the game in Frank Ragnow, the center, snapping the ball to Jared Goff. So the door is open in the NFC North. I'm not ready to say whether which of the other three teams take Detroit's place atop that division. But once that happens, and granted, the Lions have gone from losing NFC title game, which was winnable, to losing on home field in divisional round to a rookie quarterback. So the slide has begun, and I expect it will continue this year. And then Dan Campbell falls into this category of, why are you sticking with someone who clearly can't win you a championship? That said, history is full of names that have been head coaches where the popular belief is they can't win the big one. And honestly, many of them don't. There are exceptions. I am currently in a book about the Miami Dolphins' perfect season. And end this podcast reminding all of you, Don Shula, who coached for 7 years in Baltimore prior to Joe Robbie hiring him to take over for George Wilson to start the 1970 season in Miami, Shula's reputation for his first, through his first 9 years, Baltimore and his first two in Miami, and that 71 season in Miami ended with a really bad Super Bowl loss to the Dallas Cowboys, motivating the Dolphins to the perfect season in 72. Shula was widely considered a great coach who couldn't win the big one. And in 72, he coached the perfect season. Enough for me for today. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Plantation Palms Golf Club and Brandon Legal Group for their sponsorship of the Todd Wright Toddcast. Remember, you can reach me via email at wright.todd@yahoo.com and toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again soon.